Hi there, welcome to part two of our look at what it's like in the worlds of spirit. In part one, we looked at a message to James Paget from John Comes describing the earth planes, or first sphere, and the second sphere, or summer lands, which is a collective name for the planes that most of us go to when we die. But what lies beyond those? That's the subject of the other message we're going to look at, which was given to James from his grandmother on December 22, 1915, the same day as the message from John Comes that we looked at in part one. It's clear from the message that she was minded to write it, having seen James reading a book that contained a description of the different spheres in spirit. We're not told which book it is, but it seems from the message that it was written by someone who said they were able to leave their mortal body and travel astrally, or to go journeying, as it tends to be called in shamanic traditions. So let's have a look at what James's grandmother, Anne Rollins, has to say. I am here, your grandmother. I come because I see that you have been very much interested in the description of the various spheres of the spirit world as contained in the book that you have just been reading. Well, my son, I have read the book, as you did, and I must say that I have grave doubts that any mortal ever had the experience of the doctor as is related in that book. I, of course, will not positively say that he did not leave his body and visit some of the spheres of the spirit world and attempt to give a description of what he saw, but I do not think it was possible for him to visit any sphere which is higher than his soul development would enable him to enter. I am informed that not being a man with the soul development that would fit him for the higher soul spheres, I do not understand how he could possibly have entered a sphere higher than the sixth. And I doubt that he entered that. For from all the information I have received, I have never heard of any mortal entering a sphere higher than the third. What Anne is telling us here is that because no one is able to enter a sphere higher than they are suited to, and because her experience is that upon dying, no one enters a spirit higher than the third sphere, and even that is unusual, she doesn't see how the author, James Paget, is reading could be describing anything beyond the third sphere. Someone who practices astral travel is temporarily in a similar position to someone who has died and is in spirit permanently. So any such person is no more able than any other spirit to explore places they are not suited to and therefore cannot access. Anne continues, at any rate, the descriptions of the higher spheres as contained in the book, and I mean by this the spheres above the third, are not correct in many particulars, for as I have told you before, the fifth and seventh spheres are not intellectual spheres in the preeminent sense. In them are not the great colleges and institutions of learning that the book refers to, and neither are the inhabitants engaged in any special study of the laws of nature with the mere intellect. For in these spheres, the great studies and aspirations of the spirits are given to the development of the soul by obtaining God's love. To help in the work, there are teachers who devote themselves to instructing these spirits in those things which will lead to this soul development. The mind, or mere intellect, is not given much attention to, but is subordinated to the soul development. For with this development, and a part of it, comes a wonderful development of the faculties of what you might call the mind, but which we call and which really are the soul perceptions. This is interesting. The picture Anne is building up for us is of two parallel lines of development in spirit. You don't just progress from the second to the third to the fourth sphere and so on. Instead, in each one, there is a difference of emphasis as to the kind of spiritual progress that is available. And the soul chooses which one it wants to focus on. Essentially, the choice is between developing through seeking divine love more fully, gradually increasing the extent to which you are at one with God, or developing the natural moral and intellectual capabilities that we all have. The emphasis in the second, fourth, and sixth spheres is on development of the natural qualities, whereas the emphasis in the third, fifth, and seventh spheres is on development through sharing in divine love and the development of the soul perceptions rather than the mental faculties. Anne Rollins continues, I know it is hard for you to understand, for what we call the soul perceptions may be compared to the mental faculties, as you commonly speak of them. These soul perceptions do not depend upon these mental faculties, and in fact, the latter forms no part of the former. They are entirely distinct and of a different order and composition from these mental faculties. These soul perceptions, as such, cannot be cultivated or made to increase in their powers or qualities by mere study. They and their progress are entirely dependent upon and not separated from the development of the soul in love. I mean the love of God. In other words, unless there be a development of the soul by this divine love, there will be no development of the soul perceptions. It is difficult to explain this to you, but you may possibly get some idea from what I have said. This is a tricky thing to try and understand. It does seem reasonable to say that the development of our mental perceptions through study and learning may increase our knowledge and understanding, but it will not fundamentally change the kind of creature we are. The same is true of our ability to develop our natural human ability to love. We can make it a greater part of our life. We can practice love more fully and thoughtfully. But that is simply doing something we are already capable of, but perhaps don't always see the value of as fully as we should. By contrast, Anne tells us that when a mortal soul develops by sharing in divine love, God's love, this does something to the soul so that it begins to develop a range of perceptions beyond the mental perceptions that we are all familiar with from our earth life. Anne goes on to say that the sixth sphere is the great intellectual sphere, and in it are wonderful colleges and institutions of learning. And many spirits who are great intellectually on earth are teachers in these institutions. You must not think that because certain spheres are preeminently intellectual, that there are not teachers of the higher truths pertaining to the soul and to the love of man working in these spheres, for there are, and many great spirits of the celestial spheres are engaged in this teaching. And this, I must say, that the work is more difficult, and the effort to convince these spirits of highly developed intellectuality and knowledge is more strenuous than in any of the lower spheres. These bright-minded spirits seem to think that the mind is the great thing to be cultivated and looked after, And while they, in a way, worship God, yet it is with the faculties of the mind merely. They do not think that there is any truth in the teachings of the new birth and the divine love, in contradistinction to the love that they possess, which is only the natural love. I have been in all these spheres and have worked in them, and what I tell you I know from actual experience. This is fascinating and gives us a few things to tease out. From Anne's description, we see that if someone chooses to develop their natural human capabilities, the sixth sphere is as far as it is possible to advance. It is important to recognise that this is still a highly advanced level. You've got the full extent of the universe to explore, capable of seeing far more of it than when in a mortal body upon this earth. And I can't even begin to guess at the number of centuries, millennia even, that it would take to explore all that. If that's your bag, you're going to be busy and fascinated for a long, long time. Imagine the difficulty then in persuading someone that there is something more than that on offer, an even greater reality, but which they can't perceive because they haven't yet developed the soul perceptions that would require. In a way, it's just as great a challenge as persuading someone living in a mortal body upon the earth that God does in fact exist, even though they have no direct experience of that reality, because their awareness is limited to the physical world around them. People in spirit, with or without divine love, do seem to have some awareness of God, which comes about because they are no longer limited to the physical senses they used to have. But not everyone in spirit realizes the possibility of personal union with God through divine love, or even accepts it when told of it. People living a mortal life upon the earth, but who have not developed their mediumistic or spiritual awareness of that greater reality, do not have the perceptions of someone in spirit. Similarly, people living their lives in spirit, but who have not developed through sharing divine love, do not have the perceptions of someone who has, and can be just as difficult to persuade that there is a greater reality than they are already aware of. Anne continues her message to James by answering a question he has asked after reading that people in the seventh sphere do not bother with personal homes or even items of personal clothing. She replies, "Well, he is mistaken, for in the seventh sphere the spirits have homes, just as they do in the lower spheres, only they are much more beautiful and bring much more happiness and gladness because of the great number of additional things that are provided by God to increase the happiness of his children. As to our clothing in that sphere, we are clothed in what you would say a modest and comfortable way. Our clothing is not so flimsy as to permit our forms to be seen as if we had no clothing on at all. This idea must have arisen from the fact that inhabitants of that sphere have no thought of immodesty or of what might result from the suggestions that a naked or half-clothed body might give to mortals or even to some of the lower spirits. But such an idea does not enter into the question of the nature of the clothes that we shall wear. Our thoughts are all pure and free from mortal taint. And the character of our thoughts has no influence upon the character of our clothing. We wear clothes to cover our bodies because we think it proper to do so, and because we make our clothes by our own thoughts and will. And they are of the most glorious and shining appearances that you can imagine. As all things in nature have a covering, so in the spirit world, the spirits all have coverings. And this is so even in the celestial sphere in which I live. I have never seen such a thing as a naked or nearly naked spirit in these higher spheres. Of course, the spirit of the Doctor may have entered some of these higher spheres, as I have said, but his information as the author of the book that was communicated to his mortal friend was not correctly transmitted, for many things which he says are not true. I would like to write more tonight, but it is late and you are tired, and I will say with all my love, good night. Your own loving grandmother. As always, another fascinating message from James's grandmother, which gives us plenty to mull over, including the reminder that good mediumship that allows for information to be conveyed accurately is not easy to achieve. Across the two parts of video 116, we see a good picture of what we might call a map of spirit. It's only an outline at this stage, but we will be filling in plenty of detail as we go forward. In the next video, we're going to look at another message from Anne Rollins, telling us more about the option of developing our soul perceptions through sharing divine love. So I hope you'll join me for that. In the meantime, if you've enjoyed this video, like it and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, as it does help to introduce it to others who might be interested. And make sure you click on the bell icon so you get notified when the next video is uploaded. So in the meantime, thank you once again for watching, and I'll see you soon. Take care.